Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Foot homemade oak bar, pour yourself a cold one. 30 minutes of Bucks baseball awaits you. It's Bucks in the Basement. My name is Chris. That is Craig. And my friend, before we get into anything, I need your advice. I just need you as a baseball guy to give me some personal advice. You think you can handle that for me?
I can try.
All right. So you've got kids. I've got kids. You have a daughter that's much younger than mine, mine is 15 years old. So she's starting high school baseball tomorrow because she's a freshman. Back in the day, she played in the local girls' softball league. And while playing for that girls' softball league, she won a championship at one point. Like, I think she was like 11 or something like that. I mean, state champions. I'm not even joking. And she batted like fifth in the lineup. Talented kid, right? Talented kid. She's got more talent than her father has. But the problem was that every year she would try to be on their travel baseball team so she could play 12 months out of the year and would never make the team. So after this performance that leads her team to victory, I think she stole home like multiple times, including a walk-off steal of home plate at one point that I have a great video of. This kid gets rejected yet again. Now, this is a few years ago, gets rejected yet again from this travel team. And the moron that calls me up comes up with every excuse except for, well, it's just a club between us and the other dads. And we're just going to put in our kids, our kids. Like, she was better than the majority of the kids on that team. They just weren't going to accept her on their travel team because it was a club. And I made the mistake early on and when she was playing of not putting her on travel league because I wanted her to be well-rounded. And so this was almost like the punishment was, well, now that your kid's really good and wants to play all the time, you're not part of the club. Now, I always got along with the league, and I talked to him on one of my other podcasts all the time. Every year when they started, I would talk to him on one of my other podcasts, and I would try to promote them. The guy who was the jerk that left my daughter off, who I called multiple four-letter words on the private phone call between me and him when he called me up to tell me that she wasn't making the team. He's taken over the league and wants to come on my show to promote the league. On one hand, I care about the league because I was a coach in that league for like 6-7 years. I coached my daughter sometimes. Sometimes I didn't coach my daughter. I just like to coach. On the other hand, there's absolutely no way he's coming into my basement to promote the league because I think he's a jerk. Like, what would you do with that position if that was your daughter?
Oh, man. With a daughter, the protection is always and forever and all-encompassing. And it's okay to hold a grudge in that instance. I would actually have the guy come down to the basement, act like he's going to be on the show, and then maybe just let him talk and not even record any of it and be like, hey, buddy, that was real good. That was fun. And then he just never shows up on the show.
And then just never air it?
Just never air it. Don't even record it. Just don't even record it.
So I'm not tempted. Like, just don't even record. I just don't want to even be at my house. Like, I'm like, this is one of those people that, like, I'm like, I don't want to be your friend. I think you're a jerk. You treated my little girl badly. The grown men played with the emotions of impressionable young preteen girls. Like, I don't want you around me. And it's funny because I know that when I don't have this guy on the show, there's going to be people like, oh, Chris is a jerk because he didn't have the guy on the show. She was a good player. She was a good kid and everybody liked her and she did everything right. And she just wasn't part of the clique, man. And it's just like, I don't want you in my basement. Like, you're not coming over here. There are other people reaching out to me, trying to get him on that show because he doesn't have it. He doesn't have the stones to ask me himself. So what? It's going to be set up through a third party and then he's going to still show up at my house.
Oh, so he didn't even ask you himself.
No, like, he's getting, other people are asking on his behalf. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, I try not to be a petty person, but at this point, I'm like, you hurt my little girl, and you don't have the stones to actually reach out to me. You've got intermediaries trying to do it. Find someplace else to go promote your league.
Dude, tell him to pound salt at that point. I didn't know there was intermediaries.
Intermediaries trying to get
Chris, you are having the Rob Manfred Tony Clark conversations.
Right.
But like Rob's henchmen or brothers or whatever are calling Tony.
Exactly.
To have the conversation.
You're right. This is very similar to what's going on in Major League Baseball, which I find to be very interesting to watch people dig in and try to pick a side in what's going on with their current negotiations for starting the season on time. And I saw a couple of like pretty respected analysts. I saw Ken Rosenthal this week on Hot Stove on MLB Network trying to justify the idea of delaying the season. And let me tell you all something right now, very plainly. There is no justification for delaying the season other than the fact that the owners are trying to save money. They already had a season during the pandemic. And at the time that they had the season, the pandemic was worse than it is now. So they found a justification to have a season when the pandemic was at a far greater danger to not only the population of this country and the population of the world, but the population of their players. Back when we didn't know, were we going to have a dead ball player? They didn't care then because they needed to play some games because of the CBA and they needed to make money. So you didn't care back then. And you know what we found out? We found out, as we have with all these sports, NBA, NHL, the worst things that have happened to people have been lingering effects after they fight it off. Because if you're young and you are in good shape, this thing killing you is such a rarity. This is a very different disease depending on your age and your physical well-being and your health. And these finely tuned athletes, they're not afraid of it. Like, everybody was mad when Justin Turner walked down on the field after the World Series. His teammates encouraged him. You want to know why? Because they're around each other all the time. And they're like, well, I've got it. You've probably got it. We're probably all fine. Come on out, Justin. You won a World Series. I mean, I got that. See, I feel like it's just like when you watch, like, my kid asked me the other night, why we're watching a basketball game. He goes, why is it that the players are all hugging each other and slapping each other on the butt and huddling up without a mask, but when they go to the bench, they go and sit 6 feet away from each other, put a mask on? Weren't they just all breathing on each other? And I go, because it's the optics, Dominic. There's no science in how this is being done. So don't tell me we don't want to start the season because of fear for the lives of the players. That's all bull.
It's all for money, man. And we all know that it's if they feel like if they can delay the season, then they can get more butts in the seats and we'll be able to, you know, make the money or make some money based on, you know, ticket sales and merchandising and whatever it may be. I mean, I know that the Pirates just announced at Lecom Field that for spring training, you know, if and when the games are held, that they're going to try to have like 25% of the fans
and
there.
And they should. It's outdoors. And people are getting vaccines and people understand how this works now. And they understand that if I'm at risk, I probably shouldn't go. And if I'm not at risk, out of respect for the people around me, I'll probably have to wear a mask. And that's just how it works. And this will all be over in 6 months when we vaccinate all the people that are 50 and over. And the death rate to this thing drops to being the same as the flu. Because the only thing that makes it different is this is a much more dangerous virus than the flu. But once you take care of the older people and the at-risk people, it changes so drastically. Otherwise, we'd have a dead NHL player. We'd have a dead NBA player. We'd have a dead MLB player. We don't have any of them. We don't even have dead NFL players. And they are violating the rules left, right, and Sunday out on the field all the time. So this has got nothing to do with safety. The fact that the league is trying to say that while they give a proposal to the players, and trust me, there have been times where I have yelled about the players. I think the players' union is one screwed up organization. But the proposal is, we'll pay you the same for 162 and play a 154-game schedule. That will clearly include an awful lot of doubleheaders, which wear on the players. But also, they want to expand the playoffs, but they're not giving any more money for the playoffs. They're not adding in extra for that extra time that they're playing. But now here's the real interesting caveat. And this was reported by Ken Rosenthal while he was trying to stick up for the owners here. The commissioner would have the ability once the deal is signed, to decide for safety reasons to play less than 154. And if they play less games than 154 games, they don't get paid for the whole 162. So what the players' union would end up doing is signing an agreement, giving complete control to Manfred, and then he would turn around and say, we're going to delay it another month or two, and they would all get half salaries again. You would have to be an absolute idiot, whether it be a union negotiation or a private negotiation between you and the company that you're working with, to take a deal like that. That's absurd. You would have to have rocks for brains to fall for that move. Of course the union's going to reject that deal. They don't want to stop this because they're worried about their health. They want to stop this because they're not going to be able to fill up the stands with as many people, and they're not going to make the profits that they want to make. And that's why you have a team like the Angels that could have gotten any free agent they wanted to, and they've got a AAA pitching staff they've put together. Have you seen this? They're making trades for Alex Cobb. Alex Cobb sucks! And that's what they're trying to sell their fan base? Like, this is a joke! These guys are all playing poor while they drive around in Bentleys and vacation in the Caribbean on their own private island. It's bull.
Yeah, man, because, I mean, you go out and you sign Anthony Rendon to try to, you know, give some semblance of, you know, trying to do something for Mike Trout, and then you do this kind of stuff, and it just makes you shake your head.
Well, if
brother,
it wouldn't have been for the pandemic, they would have never done this stuff. What they're showing is that because of the pandemic and the loss of money, they don't want to spend any money. There are guys that are out there right now in free agency. I don't know who's paying them. Who's paying them? Who's paying Trevor Bauer? Because I don't think it's the Angels. You know, he keeps trying to drum up the Angels are interested in me. I don't think anybody wants you, Trevor. Like, nobody wants to commit that kind of money because they don't know what's going to happen this year, and they claim to have lost a ton of money last year. I'm sure they didn't make the profits they were supposed to make last year, but not reaching your profit goal and losing money are two very different things. And I think when Major League Baseball gives that number of, as a group, we lost this amount of money, they're subtracting from the projected gains. What did you actually lose if you started at zero? And I don't think it's as bad. They were laying off employees, even after they kept around for a couple of months. What did they actually lose? It's not, the numbers don't add up unless you start thinking that they're counting what they thought they were going to make. Almost all these teams in Major League Baseball have majority owners with minority ownership. And the minority ownership has agreements with those owners that they get a certain amount of money for their investment every year. And they sit in boardrooms, and they have to go to these guys. And those guys want their check whether or not they play or if they don't play. They want their check whether or not you show up in the stands or you don't show up in the stands. So that's what they're counting when they're going through this stuff. This is a farce. They're going to start. And here's the other thing that I find amazing. You have people sitting there trying to say, well, you know, if they can't come up with an agreement, well, who knows if we'll play? No, they're going to play. There's a collective bargaining agreement that by law, that legally, they're going to have to pay these players if they play on opening day or if they don't. So they're going to, trust me, they're going to play. Unless they can get Joe Biden, the president of the United States, to declare a state of emergency, which would shut down all the other major sports, so he's not going to do that. Major League Baseball is playing April 1st, opening day. Unless they come up with a way that they are not screwing the players over by saying, oh, agree to this, and then by agreeing to it, we can just shorten the schedule and stop paying you whenever we want to. That's absurd.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen, man. And I mean, that's where, like, I'm starting to look towards, you know, the Pirates lineup, and we were doing this before the show, of what it's going to look like in spring training, what it's going to look like on April 1st. And coming down to it at this point in time, I think it's going to look very, very similar to the team they have put together right now. I mean, there's not too much that they can change. There's not too much that they're not going to put money into the team. They're not going to go out and sign any big free agent. They're going to pick up scraps, which we've talked about before. And if they can trade a player, they will still continue to trade a player. I think that Ben Cherington's probably out there hoping that somebody's second baseman or shortstop or left fielder or utility man goes out at some point in time during, you know, spring training. But yeah, I just don't see how you can stop this train now. Especially when players were told, prepare for a full season. Were they not? They were told, prepare for a full season. And now, for some reason, that's changed.
What's funny about it is how Major League Baseball tried to trick everybody and got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They get on a phone call, and this has been reported. This has been reported by The Athletic out of San Francisco. They get on a phone call with the people down in the Cactus League and tell them, we can't get the players to agree to slow down. Can you guys write them a letter saying that you're afraid that because of the virus, we can't start spring training on time? So then they write this letter signed by the mayor of Phoenix, who has NHL games with people in the stands inside of a hockey rink, saying it's unsafe to stand outside and practice with your teammates. Are you kidding me? And so then when people call out the hypocrisy, right away it leaks to The Athletic that Major League Baseball put them up to it because they're trying to do anything they can to get the court of public opinion to tell people, oh, no, no, this is scary. We shouldn't do this. And the players are like, but you made us do this at the height of the pandemic. You made us do this as the first sports league to try to play. And we made it. So how can you sit there now and tell us it's too scary now? We can't do this. The virus is scary. We can't do this. It wasn't scary in August last year, was it? Wasn't scary in September, was it? It wasn't for Major League Baseball. Now all of a sudden it is. Come on. This is ridiculous. And you look at the Pirates roster. In reality, if you're a Pirates fan, you're rooting for Mitch Keller and Cabrian Hayes. And also to see Brian Reynolds bounce back. And other than that, you have basically a AAA team with pieces that if some guy gets on a roll and he's not controllable for more than a couple of years, he's probably getting traded. If he gets on a roll and he's controllable for a long time, he is a diamond found in the rough. And that's what your season is. Are you a CFO, HR professional, or owner of a company, big or small, and you're tired of the typical health insurance premium increases each and every year? Out of control premiums with no end in sight. Well, now there is the Elite Benefits Formula. This process has saved employers and their employees thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars each year. These strategies are avoided by most insurance professionals, and the insurance companies definitely do not want you to know about them. But Elite Benefits of America is ready to help you. Just about all employers in the Chicagoland area can now take advantage of some or all of these strategies and start saving money. Butch Zimar from Elite Benefits of America wants you to reach out to him today. Visit elitebenefits.net or call 708-535-3006.
We've seen surprises before, and I'm not going to tell people that, you know, they're going to come out and, you know, challenge for the Central or anything. And sometimes this is what happens with young players. Young players can get hot. We've seen it before where, you know, you'll go on your streaks, you'll go up and down. The one thing that does concern me is I would at some point in time here, I'd like to get some sort of veteran leadership in there to shore up the rotation, because that's one thing you don't have. You don't have an innings eater. You don't have a guy that at least at some point in his career has gotten the ball and said, I'm putting my foot down. We're going to have a good game. This losing streak stops now. That's the one thing that I would like to see them do. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I'm pretty sure that's what everybody is searching for out there. I could care less if they get another outfielder at this point in time. I mean, Polanco's going to be marched out there if he's healthy, because we were talking about this before the show, Chris. There is no way. Like, somebody put a rumor out there, and it was, like, squashed almost immediately. And I don't know how much of a rumor it even was, that we were trying to have some conversations with some teams about selling, you know, Gregory Polanco's contract, which, you know, Gary addressed in his writings recently, is that it's a fine line of what you would have to do, and it wouldn't be much that you would be getting back if you would be getting anything back. You may be having to give prospects for somebody to take that on and maybe getting we saw this. Let's go back here. We wanted to get rid of Francisco Liriano's contract, and we gave him to Toronto. But we also had to give them Reese McGuire. We also had to give them, at the time, we had to give them Ramirez. We had to give Harold Ramirez. And we got back Drew Hutchinson. Like, even if you could say we're going to pay part of Gregory Polanco's contract, let's say we'll take the $8 million that would take him through the trade deadline. We'll pay that for you. What are you going to give us back? most teams are going to look at his track record. They're going to look at him with a broken wrist coming out of the Dominican Republic. And unless they see something in the spring that makes them think that something's there, they're going to be saying, we need prospects. And you're basically just doing a salary dump a la the, you know, New York Yankees.
Yeah, or like how the Rockies just salary dumped when they got rid of Arenado. Arenado's like, they're giving $50 million reportedly to the Cardinals. Like, they're giving away one of the best players in baseball as a future Hall of Famer and $50 million in a total salary dump. Like, if you're Trevor Story out there right now with the Rockies, you're like, come on, I'm not re-signing here.
There's
I'm getting traded in a couple of weeks. You know, you're talking about that veteran pitcher, and I got an intriguing name for you that's out there as a Major League Baseball free agent who may want to go out and just kind of prove that he could still do it. Maybe if he gets good, like you come to him and you say, hey, look, if you come out here and you perform well, win or lose, but your peripherals look good, we'll trade you to a contender to pick up prospects because we're in a rebuild. You will not die on the Pirates. And we'll do it before the trade deadline. And he gets an opportunity to latch on with a team that could win a World Series because he's always wanted to do it. How about Felix Hernandez? 35 years old, had a WAR that was basically replacement level last year. King Felix tries to come back on a one-year deal and prove something. If he's not good, he's at least a vet that can talk with the other players and show them how a professional goes about his business with this young staff. And if he is good, you're flipping him and you're getting somebody's really good prospect because they're putting their chips in the win. Like, that's a guy who's still floating out there that I think to myself, like, you get him and he gets in there. I mean, think about it. National League Central. Let's think about this National League Central for a second. The Cubs are going to suck. Like, they're giving everything away, right? They're not going to be anything that's going to be too exciting. I don't know if the Reds are really going to be world killers. You know, I look at this division and I think to myself, the Pirates are in a rebuild, but they're just going to fall into wins because there's other teams in the division that aren't really going to do anything. And so you get a guy like Hernandez and he starts eating up these teams because he's a pro and he's facing 4A, you know, which is like those guys that kind of make the majors, but they're really not that good replacement level talent on some of these teams he's going to face. And he's going to get a couple of starts against them this year. That's a guy you can flip. It's a guy you're giving to the Yankees when this experiment that they're trying right now with a lot of depth, but they're trying to figure out what works out, come knocking on your door again. You know, or another team that, like, look at what the White Sox are doing in Chicago. They went out and they got Lance Lynn. They added him to Lucas Giolito, who I think is one of the best pitchers in the majors, and also Dallas Keuchel. But the back end is just a bunch of youth, and they're hoping some of it works out. What if it doesn't work out? And you're able to throw him in there and they're able to give you some of their prospects. They've got four or five guys in the top 100. This is what you're trying to do if you're the Pirates. That's the kind of guy I go knock on his door. I kick the tires. I don't think he's going to cost you very much. I think the longer he remains unsigned, the more of a chance that you're able to pick him up, put him in there. You might have to pay him like $5 million. You could do that. Look at all the salary you're shedding. Pay him $5 million, you'll pay $2.5 million of it, and if he works out, you trade him. If he doesn't work out, you release him.
I can definitely see where you're coming from, Chris. I mean, I'm not the anti-flip. I've given the devil's advocate. I wrote, you know, sometime last week that basically there was a study done where they took, I think it was like the top 100 prospects in Baseball America for about 8 years and saw how they performed when they were traded or when they weren't traded. And basically in these type of flip situations, you have about a 2.9% chance of getting back something of value more than a replacement level player, somebody who's going to be an all-star. But that was just my thing of saying, don't look for it to be, you know, an ultimate success, which is what a lot of people seem to be doing. But I definitely agree with, if you can do anything you can outside of the normal realm of drafting, of the international prospects out of, you know, whatever it would be, the international signings, to be able to acquire talent. I definitely think it has to be explored. I just don't know if the Pirates are going to do anything at this point in time beyond the minor league deals with, you know, competition to get on the team, even for some veteran pitchers. I mean, the crazy part is that the Cubs went out and gave Trevor Williams a major league deal. Yeah,
they want to lose games.
Which I thought,
they were like, let's bring this guy in. He's just going to be the third base coach for the opposing team's going to hurt his arm waving guys in. They want to finish behind the Pirates. Like, what people don't understand is teams that go into rebuilds, they want one of those top three picks in the draft. They want to lose. There's going to be two different races in Major League Baseball in 2021. The race to win and the race to lose. And you're going to have a lot of teams trying to do that because of their financials going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad teams. I mean, and even I just think about the Orioles and I think about the Tigers and I think about the Rangers. Like, what have some of these teams done? I mean, like you said, Lance Lynn getting traded to the White Sox. I mean, that sure as heck doesn't make the Rangers good in the, you know, in the present. It makes them, you know, possibly good, hopefully, you know, in the future by getting a young arm to put in there who they can mold, but it doesn't make them better in the present. So there's a lot of teams right now that there isn't much of that middle ground anymore. Like you said, it's either we're going for it or we're going for it in the exact opposite direction. I mean, I can't argue with that at all, brother. I mean, it's just, baseball is broken. The system is, it just looks ugly right now. And you're setting it up for with these, everything being in the public, which always has to be in the public, it seems, but it's setting up for, I mean, we always talk about this, December 2021, that CBA runs out. And I'm nervous.
Yeah, it's going to be really weird. I'm nervous about it as well. One thing that looks really good is Quinn Priester. You see, he made number 52 on the MLB Pipeline top 100 list that just came out.
He's that freaking good, man. He is. This is a guy that I've been talking about for like as soon as they drafted him, and you can't. Ben Cherington can't take. He can take credit for part of this, but Quinn Priester is a guy we've mentioned like a couple of times, Chris, where he has taught himself to pitch. It's not pitching coaches. Like, he taught himself to pitch, basically taking himself to high school gyms with YouTube videos. And basically teaching himself the pitch. He was put on a program, you know, kind of talked to, you know, the Pirates a little bit during this break or whatever. But, I mean, he comes into the camp in Altoona a little bit later on and just starts mowing people down. He goes down to instructs and he's mowing people down. And I don't think at this point in time, the only person that can take credit for Quinn Priester's success right now is Quinn Priester. The dude is just, he's an animal, and he's a specimen that I think that the only thing, I'm going to knock on wood, the only thing that will make this kid fail is an injury. If there is no injury, I don't see what can stop him from being one of the top pitchers in Major League Baseball at this point in time.
And that's why you want to see Mitch Keller succeed, because Quinn Priester, if you're watching the Pirates right now, he's one of your high-end starters that you're expecting that, you know, barring injury, barring something happening, you're hoping that eventually down the line when this team is ready to start competing again, you have him, he's controllable, and he's ready to go. And at second base, Nick Gonzalez is going to be standing there because Nick Gonzalez is in the top 100 as well, and he's moved up the list an awful lot, and it sounds like in instructionals, he played second base almost exclusively. At third base, Cabrian Hayes, who's already made it there, and he's the number 9 prospect in all of Major League Baseball entering the 2021 season. He'll be standing over there. And then you still have O'Neill Cruz, a shortstop that is ranked as the 64th best prospect in baseball right now. Four guys in the top 100. And these are the guys that I'm waiting to see is this the core? Is your second base, shortstop, and third base the guys that are on this list? With a pitcher that's going to slide in as your number 1 or your number 2 also on this list. And if you think of it that way, and you think about the fact that Brian Reynolds could bounce back, you're starting to put pieces together. And that's what we're watching here at the beginning. And look, not every prospect works out. And not every plan goes the way that you want it to go. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a little far off right now. But you need to start getting excited about these young guys, because these are the guys you'll be buying their jerseys in a few years, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I won't be, but I mean, somebody will be. I basically told...
Why won't you be? You tell me you're not going out and getting a Quinn Priester jersey? You just told me it was good.
Dude, I basically made myself that I believe the last jersey that I bought as a young man, and I don't even know how young I was, but as a young man, I bought a God, who was it? I'm trying to even think at this point in time. Oh, I bought an Aramis Ramirez jersey. Love the dude.
Wow. Wow.
What happened to him?
Yeah, well, he got traded.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were a Nolan Arenado fan and you waited till he signed that big deal because you didn't want to waste money on a jersey. And 18 months later, he gets dealt to the Cardinals in a salary dump. You're pissed. Like, you're so angry right now.
Maybe I'll get it. Maybe I might get a jersey. You know, I won't get a jersey. I'll get a jersey.
No, you can't get a jersey. Are you kidding me? You're gonna get a jersey?
No, I buy my kids jerseys. I don't jerseys, buy, I don't even.
Yeah, jerseys are for children and I don't know, guys that don't have girlfriends. Like, don't get a jersey.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing.